You know, sometimes in life you just stand in awe or sit in awe of something, event that takes place, and you know that our Heavenly Father has a part in it. And that, I think you'll see today, how the coordination of the sermon at my sermon go together. Just, I'm sitting there, fantastic. So today we'll take a look at something that no doubt has an effect. I'm going to go with my introduction that I have here, even though I just mentioned what I did about the sermonette. Has an effect on your life this past week, maybe even every day. It most likely affected your soul, you know, your physical well-being, the positive thoughts. It was not food nor drink, but in most cases, it should have nourished your soul. It does not arrive through the sense of touch or taste, but it comes by the sound of the ear and sight. It was there if you watched the movie. It is known as a universal language. What is a universal language? Music. If you would, start off with, we'll be looking at music today and language. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. Well, reading this, we know it has not taken place as of yet, so this is a time in the future. A pure language. And while I was at the feast, someone asked me if I thought English would be the pure language in the world tomorrow. I said, I hope not. Pure. Here the definition from Strong's is, to clarify, that is, to brighten, examine, select. This is what it means, pure. Now take a look at Psalm chapter 12, a psalm of David, and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forward. So here David is talking about God's word, that it's pure. Here the definition for the word used, pure, it means pure, as in physics, chemistry, ceremonial, or moral sense. It's pure. God's words are pure. So he read there in Zephaniah, he's going to restore the people a pure language. As members of the family of God, do you think we'll only know one language? The kingdom of God. How many languages does our Heavenly Father understand? And this week, as I was working on this message, I thought of what we just read here in Psalm 12 about God's word being pure. Let's take a look over here at Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 through 6. Once again, we read Proverbs 30, verse 5 through 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So we can look at this and read that God's words is pure. Now, did he give us his words in just one language? No. This book, where we find his words, was written in Hebrew and Greek. So back to music once again. You know, we're working music. and his word together. And those of us who have been to a feast site where a language other than English has been spoken, what happens at that feast site when we sing hymns? I've been to a Spanish site. I've been to a French-speaking site. You know, we all get up and we sing in our language. Now, the hymns that we are singing, are they not a joy to our Heavenly Father as he hears them in whatever tongue we sing? It is. It's a joy to him. He understands. So maybe what God means here in Zephaniah 3, no matter what language one speaks and understands, in the future, it'll only be truth spoken. No more lies and deception, as is so common today in different languages. No more taking God's name in vain, in vulgar and irreverent slang and jargon in any language. We're going to be taught the commandments, mankind. One reason that will be because in the future, the deceiver, the father of lies, will be bound. No longer will he have his influence. For even today, he works in the realm of music, Satan the devil, perverting music, the sound of it. But he will be bound, and it will be pure music that we can listen to. I know maybe some of you can speak more than one language. I know when my father was alive and he used to speak German, he used to tell me, you know, there's certain words in German that express a situation better than can be found in English. English just can't describe it as well as a German word. I think we realize that in the word love in the Bible, in the English. You know, we usually have to have an adjective in front of it. You know, the Greek word says specifically what kind of love it is. But, you know, we need an adjective before it to know what kind of love it actually is. So continuing on here with music. Music plays an important part in our lives. Deep emotional experiences have been expressed musically throughout our history, whether it be of joy and celebration or sadness and mourning, mourning, as we heard in the sermonette. The emotions we feel is unique to us as God's creatures. You know, other creatures may respond to certain notes to do a stunt, you know, at some sea world or something. But for us, you know, there's emotion. John chapter 10 and verse 2, talking about listening to God and understanding language, a pure language and music. John 10 verse 2, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for he knows his voice. So as we think about what is being said here, as I said, God has called people with a number of other languages. When he calls them, they understand his word, because God's voice is clear to them. Chapter 18 and verse 37 in the book of John. John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So once again, expounding here, Christ is about his word, the truth. When the Father calls, you're able to understand. John chapter 14 and verse 23. John chapter 14, 23. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not me, mine, but the Father who sent me. So now we know we do not hear the voice of Christ. You know, I've never heard the voice of Christ, but we have his word here before us, expounded here before us in this book, the Bible. 1 John 2 and verse 15. You know, music is a tool of communication. You know, the lyrics can either be good or bad. In the millennium, music will have a pure message as well. 1 John 2, verse 15, with regards to the music that we listen to in the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we are told here, the love of the Father is in us. We will not love the world. That includes any music style that communicates a message contrary to the theme of righteousness. Music that does not support purity and truth, we should turn away from. You know, there is an on-off switch in most instances that we can shut off when the wrong kind of music comes on the air. Now, I know there is coming once again very soon in the stores and malls, though. 'Tis the season, which we cannot shut off. But now, music just does not have to be for singing before God. You know, there can be music that is good for entertainment purposes as well. I enjoy the genre of bluegrass. Now, not everything on bluegrass, mind you, the lyrics is right, but I enjoy the sound of the fiddle and the banjo. I really enjoy sitting there and hearing it. And usually, when they're singing bluegrass, I can understand every word they're saying. With some of this other genre, I have no idea what they're saying. I probably don't want to know what their meaning is behind it. I also enjoy musicals. Probably you do as well. As Fiddler on the Roof. You know, there's music there, entertaining, uplifting. The Sound of Music. You know, Do, Re, Mi. Edelweiss out of there. Or Handel's Messiah. You know, wonderful pieces of music. Now, these are examples of entertainment purposes and not necessarily for worshiping God. And, you know, music is there to communicate, to uplift us. So, number one, with regards to music. Music can support our faith by helping to comfort and reassure us in times of trouble. Now, I know we already heard it in the sermonette, but it's in my notes. We're going to turn to it. Acts 16, verse 25. Oh, here's a time, as we heard in the sermonette, Paul and Silas were in prison. And we read here in verse 25 of Acts 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So here they were, you know, they were in a trial. They're in prison. You know, perhaps their songs and prayers played a part in bringing the Philippian jailer to ask in verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, that jailer probably had heard them singing and praying, and it had quite an effect on him. You know, we do have hymns here that can support our faith. Hymn number 27 in the hymnal, where we read about God is our refuge. And the sermonette was on Psalms. And here is a psalm, verse 46 and verse 7, about God. is our refuge, and our strength in straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Now, wonderful psalm here to support our faith by helping to comfort and reassure us in times of trouble. Just like to remind you, if you never have, in the back of the hymnal, a lot of effort went into this hymnal. You know, starting on page 196, you have your topical index. And things there that come up with regards to our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Hymns that are in the hymnal with regards to family, fellowship, God the Father. A great place to look and how to worship God. Letter B, music has a part in our fellowship of comforting, encouraging, and motivation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. With regards to music being a part of our fellowship of comforting, encouraging, and motivating. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, beginning, this is reading now from the New Revised Standard Version. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God, the Father, at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this about psalms, singing. You know, the feast in Midland, the hymns sung during the services, had to do with the coming kingdom of God. That was the focus of the feast while we're there, picturing the coming kingdom of God. And the music had been selected for the hymns throughout the feast. A favorite of mine is one by Mark Graham, who is was there with his wife at the feast with Thea. I know maybe some of you remember Mr. Mark Graham. He came here in about 1996 or 97. He had a concert over at Chelsea High School. He performed. So it's good to have Mr. Graham there with us in Midland. I think one of my favorite hymns is one written by him, and it's Psalm 147, found on page 135. You know, reading through this hymn, it talks about God. Great God who made the universe and knows the stars by name, who set the sun and moon and all the planets in their frame, who made a billion galaxies and scattered them through space, who made a jewel and called it earth and gave it honored place. And continuing on in the psalm, he goes through what God did, what he's doing, and what will be when Christ returns. Like the final verse, when Christ shall come to earth again and curses shall be done, and beautiful as earth was made, it shall again become. But even still more beautiful, new heaven and earth shall be, and God at last shall dwell with men for all eternity. A beautiful hymn by Mr. Graham. And actually, it was Psalm 147 that he used. Once again, supporting the message that we had in the sermonette. You know, as I mentioned earlier, one evening we had a hymn sing in Midland. And Mr. Reed, the feast coordinator, had to cut us off, or we might still be there singing. He says, folks, it's time to go to bed. You know, but it was great to be able to be there that evening and to sing. Number C, music can play part in teaching and preaching the gospel. Another point out of the sermonette. You know, Mr. Henderson and I had not talked about what God was inspiring for today. And what comes to my mind, you know, he talked about how many youngsters knew the books of the Bible and I have here in my notes. Jelly comes to mind in the UCG.org website for our younger ones. Now, go on to our UCG website, and when you see jelly, click on jelly. Great. Messages for the younger one to learn the books of the Bible right there. And Mr. Graham is right there. He's the pianist there with jelly as they go through the books of the Bible. Able to teach us as we read over here in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16, where hymns are to instruct and warn us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, it's to warn us. Another scripture reference over here in, let's turn to in the hymnal, if you have it there, 179. You know, with regards to hymns. This is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Be you holy. Be you holy, for I am holy. Known I have not redeemed you, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of my Son, the one slain before earth's foundations were formed. So we have instruction here. Be holy, just as our Heavenly Father is holy. Psalm 40 and verse 3. Psalm 40 and verse 3. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud. Oh, verse 3, I was reading verse 4. Verse 3, Psalm 40, verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. You know, David was inspired to write psalms, and with God inspiring him, you know, it's like a number of our hymns and hymnals are by Mr. Graham. You know, God inspired him to make this music, these hymns that we have to sing. As it says here in the NIV, with regards to this verse, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn or praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So, yes, as we already saw there in the book of Acts, because of the song there that Paul and Silas. Over here now in Matthew 26, where we read in the hours just before Christ was to endure his death, we read Matthew 26:30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So here Christ with his disciples sang a hymn, which he knew what the scriptures foretain want to take place after that hymn sing. These scriptures, along with others, teach us important principle that worshipful singing and praise should be done in a manner and style that illustrates and conveys the concept of holiness. That is, the righteous attitude and spirit of God himself. Music is to honor and to praise God. Jesus amplified this principle here in John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we are to worship God. Another hymn over hymn number 59 in the hymnal. This is taken out of Psalms as well. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Come before his presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. As we read here, come before his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come and serve the Lord, filled with gladness, singing praises with one accord. Come before him with your thanksgiving, and before his throne, sing your praise. Sing your praises always. Be thankful. Bless his name throughout all your days. So as we come here before God, our Holy Father, and our Savior Jesus Christ, on Sabbath, it should be upon us to be in our seats by 10:30. When we hear the song leader telling us to find our seats so we may begin services, you know, a couple minutes before services, we're already 3 minutes late. We should be in our seats 5 minutes before services. You know, if we're in a conversation with someone, most of us have time pieces. You see, you're in a conversation, cut the conversation off. You're coming before God the Father and Jesus Christ. As Mr. McGuire said very well a few weeks back, God sets appointed holy times on the calendar when we are to appear before him, which are the weekly Sabbath and annual holidays. We have a set time for services to begin. We're doing dishonor to our great Heavenly Father and Savior when we are not in our seats to begin services. Now, I know if you had an appointment with Queen Elizabeth or the President, you'd be there ahead of time, wouldn't you? You'd be waiting in the foyer to be ushered in. We should be in our seats, ready to begin at 10:30 before our great Creator God and our Heavenly Father. They gave us life physically and spiritually. No one else can do that. No one else is any greater than they are. To be cognizant of the time before services, be in our seats, to give the honor to our Heavenly Father and our elder brother. Going on now, what is proper music for church? Music and services must be used to promote a relationship with God. It is for praise and inspiration of the purity of worshiping God, and performed by those who can perform it in an appropriate manner. Now, the Bible nowhere indicates that there is only one type of music that is appropriate. God's word validates a variety of musical expression. James chapter 5 and verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So in other words, you know, have a solo, as I said earlier, by an appropriate individual. And that's not definitely by me, but one who can perform it appropriately. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 5, where we read about of an orchestra. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and cymbals. So we see here an orchestra. Once again, 2 Chronicles, chapter 30 and verse 21. So the children of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord accompanied by loud instruments. You know, orchestra was playing there. And then earlier we read in Ephesians 5:19 where we come together to sing. You know, not all music is proper for Sabbath service, even though it may sound good, seems to have a Christian words in it. But remember, there is a great deceiver that was and is in the music industry to twist the messages regarding God and the worship of God. I don't know how many of you have ever been to another so-called Christian service, maybe a funeral, as an example, where the congregation gets up to sing. Some of those hymns just are not appropriate in light of the true worship of God that they sing. You know, they think they're singing beautifully, but it is not appropriate to sing to the great glory of our Heavenly Father. You know, special music is to be presented appropriately, and it will have appeal to all ages. I think of The Sound of Music. You know, all ages, I believe, enjoy sitting and listening to that music, from the youngsters up to the oldest. It's appealing. Well, that's what special music should be in services. Let's look over here in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, where we read, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So we see here the song with regards to what God has done, will do, and in the future. And then, what about dancing with regard to worship? Well, we see this song here as the children sang this song. Notice over here in verse 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess and the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider is thrown into the sea. So we see here dancing before God. 2 Samuel, chapter 6 and verse 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 6 and verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed Edom, and all that belongs to him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Edom to the city of David with gladness. So here, David comes up with the ark. And it was so, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed ox and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And once again, we see dancing, the sound of the trumpet, and singing. Psalm 149. and verse 2. With regard to singing before God, Psalm 149 and verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with a dance. Let them sing praises to Him with a harp and timbrel. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. So once again, we see singing to God and dancing as well here present. And turn over to Psalm 150. You know, this psalm, you know, is the final one here in the book of Psalms. You know, it's kind of like a crescendo, the finality of an orchestra piece, you know, come down to the end. And this psalm has to do with worshiping God with music, instruments, and dance. I think that's hymn 138 in our hymnal as well. Yes, it is. Well, I'll just read here what from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a lute and the harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. And that we have a hymn, you know, page 138. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty. So you see then, dancing before God. What is this dance style? I'm not sure we know what that dance style is. I doubt if it's like what is found on Dancing with the Stars, with a samba or tango, nor do I think it's hip-hop, what this dancing was. But, you know, it just doesn't seem to indicate what this dancing really was. Something else I noticed when I was searching this out, that this dancing has been mentioned, but it never seems to be performed on a holy day before God in services. Now, maybe a reason. You know, when Moses sang it, it doesn't say it was a holy day. When David danced there for the ark, it doesn't say it was a holy day. It was, you know, just a great celebration when he danced and talks about here. But no place can I see read where, you know, when we come together for Sabbath service, that there's dancing takes place. Singing, yes. Maybe there's something that we just have not seen yet. So let's take a look at a prophecy in the future. We read the one in Zephaniah. We have pure language, you know, and no more deception. And that, I would say, means music as well. Jeremiah 31 and verse 13. Jeremiah 31, verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will saturate the soul of priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. So music has a tremendous impact on us. So what have we seen today with regard to music and with regards to the sermonette as well? Music is a form of communication. There's music for entertainment and there's music for worshiping the true God in purity. So points were there. Number A, I had the letter A. Music can support our faith by helping to comfort and reassure us in times of trial. B, music has a part in our fellowship of comforting, encouraging, and motivating. and see music can play a part in teaching and preaching the gospel. Now we are here before our Heavenly Father and Creator and should have reverence before them by singing praises to them for what they have done. You know, we can look forward to the time with the language spoken, the way of music and instruction and words will be pure. Thy kingdom come.